We're thankful to be with you this morning and ask an interest in your prayers for the time that we are before you. I'd like to this morning speak to you about one of the unique characters that we find in the Word of God. Of course, when I use the word unique, I use it in the sense that being born at a unique time, their life that they lived was unique. And that's, of course, a man by the name of Noah. Noah was a man that witnessed some things in his lifetime and some events and so forth that make him, of course, a very unique individual. I'm sure that none of us would want to have to live Noah's life from that standpoint, to have the Lord visit us one day and tell us that he would like for us to build an ark or to build a structure of some kind for the saving of ourselves and of our household. But of course, that's what happened to Noah. And the reason then being given the reason that is to be done is because that the world is going to be destroyed and by a flood. But of course, as you know, that's what Noah had to experience. First of all, or actually, you know, without going over the event of what we refer to as Noah's flood, and you know, it's amazing how we do things like that. It was, I guess technically it'd be God's flood, because he's the one that sent it, but we give Noah the credit for it as far as the name is concerned, knowing that he had nothing to do with causing it to happen. He didn't have that power, of course. But first of all, it's interesting to think about long before God visited Noah personally and gave him the message concerning the destruction of the earth by a flood, that his parents gave him the name that they gave him. And I love to study names in the scripture and what they mean. They're important, you know, not just the name of Jesus, you know, but there are other names in the Bible that are equally are equally interesting in their context. Of course, Noah's name means rest. Noah's name means rest and or resting place, which is a little peculiar in one sense because of you know, what would take place. But even though, and of course, the life of Noah is a life that we can examine and believe and know that every time that God judges because of sin, he always leaves a door of hope. He always leaves a door of hope. At the time that this worldwide flood event took place, the Bible tells us, you know, that the wickedness of man was a stench in the nostrils of God. God saw wickedness everywhere. And he said, I will destroy man that I have created upon the face of the earth because of his wickedness. However, we find a very interesting word, don't we? A little three-letter word, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's, as we go through Scripture, you know, Noah's just a beginning. We find so many instances, beginning in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned against God, and had God carried out his judgment to the fullest, then he would have destroyed both Adam and Eve. But instead of destroying them, he cast them out of the garden. Now that was a terrible thing, but he could have cast them into hell, because that was their punishment. That was the death. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And I know you've heard it said that means, and in dying, thou shalt die and die and die and die. That means that you'll die forever. You'll spend eternity dying. That's the fate of those that are not children of God, that'll spend eternity in hell. They'll spend eternity dying. God's people will spend eternity in heaven living. So it's quite a contrast, isn't it? But Noah, of course, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. His name means rest. But another thing that I've always found interesting about Noah, if I remember correctly, he was the seventh. Wasn't he the seventh generation from Adam? And that comes on the, that's the number of completion. That's a number of perfection. Noah, of course, has a peculiar position. He stands on the precipice of a destruction which occurred, but he also stands on the precipice of a restoration which occurred. Of course, in Noah's case, God not only spared Noah, but he spared his family. He spared his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Number eight, number of new beginnings. If we want to have a real family reunion, we can have a Noah family reunion, and we can invite everybody on the planet. Okay? Think about that. We're told all kinds of things about the origin of mankind, and how we evolved from this and how we evolved from that, and so forth. But the fact is, you evolved from Noah. We're here today because of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. That's how we're all kin to one another, at least them. So Noah, there were eight souls saved by water, and that's the number of new beginnings. And so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord means that grace already existed in Noah. God's the reason that, of course, grace was in Noah, and that he was the given grace, and that's why God was able to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was the individual, the man that God chose to be the salvation on this occasion. And of course, there are many ways, of course, that Noah is a type of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so forth. And one thing about that type is that the Bible also tells us that Noah was a just man. Noah was a just man. That means he was lawful and he was righteous. Now, we know that Noah made his mistakes. We know that Noah wasn't a perfect man, but he was a just man. He was a man that trusted in the Lord. He was a man that believed in the Lord. And he also was a man that tried to live according to the law of the Lord. And because of that, God, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God chose him, and God blessed him to be the, and I'm going to put it in quotation marks, the Savior of the world at that point in time, which is another type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been chosen in Christ. We were chosen in Christ before the world began. The Bible tells us you know, that as far as our understanding, to try to understand God and his character and his personality, we view him as God the Father, it's God the Son, and it's God the Holy Spirit. Now that's just the way God manifests himself. You know, we're not talking about three gods. You know, we're talking about God. And whenever we see the Father, we're seeing God. Whenever we're seeing Jesus Christ, we're seeing God. He said, I and my Father are one. The disciples said to him one time, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You're looking at it. You know, sometimes it's amazing how that we can look at something and not know what we're looking at. Well, that's, you know, those disciples had the blessed privilege of seeing God, as Paul would tell us in the book of Hebrews, God manifest in the flesh. John says, we've handled God. That which our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hands have handled the word of life. They handled God. They touched God in a way that very, very, very few human beings in this life have ever had the privilege of doing so. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man. The Bible also tells us something else peculiar about Noah. It tells us that Noah was perfect in all his generations. Now we know that Noah was a sinner, or he was perfect in his generations. That just simply means that he was an upright man. You know, I believe the Bible also tells us about Job was found to be a perfect and an upright man. Now, whatever that word "perfect" is used, you know, we have to consider the context and think about what is being said. They're not saying that these men were sinlessly perfect. But they were perfect in their way and manner of living. You know, they were maybe we could say they were as perfect as they could be considering the circumstances. No matter how just they were, no matter how righteous they tried to live, no matter how benevolent they were, etc., the bottom line is they were still sinners. And they all died because of their sins. But they were perfect and complete and entire in the sense of being upright and, you know, good moral people and so forth. Another thing that we find about Noah in verse 9, it tells us that these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You know, Noah walked with God. I don't know that there may not be a significance to this. It's something for us to think about. That the first man, Adam, held that unique position. He's the father of all mankind, including Noah, of course. But we find in the book of Genesis that God walked with Adam in the cool of the garden. But here, in talking about Noah, it tells us that Noah walked with God. Maybe there's, we could say, Brother Thomas took a walk with Sister Elaine down memory lane. Well, we could also say that Sister Elaine took a walk with Brother Thomas down memory lane. It may not make any difference. But one thing I've learned, sometimes the things that you may say, well, that may not make a whole lot of difference. But you get to studying it a little bit, it can make a difference. Just depends, on if the Lord opens your eyes to that difference or not. But anyhow, I thought that was interesting that in the garden, before man sinned, it tells us that God walked with Adam. But here we find, in this situation, it tells us that Noah walked with God. think about that. If you figure that one out for me, please let me be the first to know if there's any reason for that difference. So as we think about Noah, lastly, we find that in Genesis 6, verse 22, it says, "Thus did Noah." You know, the things that God told him to do. "Thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he." In Genesis 7, verse 5, it says, "And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him." So lastly, Noah obeyed God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man. Noah was a perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah obeyed God. And because of his obedience, of course, God blessed him to be, I'm putting it in quotation marks, the savior of the world in his generation.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Amen. Making him a wonderful, beautiful type of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And ultimately, that last characteristic of Noah is the most befitting for the picture before us, is that he obeyed God. You know, Jesus Christ came into this world to do the will of his Father. You know, Noah being a type of Jesus Christ in that sense. And Jesus Christ came, and we are recipients of the salvation of God because Jesus Christ obeyed God. He kept the Father's commandments. He did what God sent him into the world to do. And in that sense, he obeyed God. And by his obedience, we the disobedient are saved for heaven and immortal glory. And of course, one last point. Genesis chapter 9, after all this has happened, the summation is in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, "And God blessed Noah." That's the summation of all, you know, God walking, or Noah walking with God, and all the things that he did. That's the summation, isn't it? God blessed Noah. When we sum up all the things that God has done for us, and all the things that he's promised yet to do for us, and all that we are looking forward to enjoying, it's a simple but profound statement. God blessed Noah. You can put your name in there. I can put my name in there. The family of God can put their name in there. God blessed Noah. That sums up Noah's life. In spite of everything, God blessed him. May the Lord add his blessing today.